This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes, where we are talking about nasi goreng strawberry and other iterations. We're asking you guys to give us some feedback about some of the oddest combinations of food that you've seen. We've had quite a few. Ords, do you want to take it over to Twitter first?
Yes. So on Twitter, Zach Van Norden says he's tried burger with peanut butter and jam, and it was surprisingly good.
It's called Jammin' with Elvis at Burger Lab.
Oh, there we go. Okay. And then there's another one here by Fadzlana, and he says, I've dunked my stuffed crust pizza in Pepsi and it was great.
What?
Very judgy right now.
Yeah, I'm feeling very judgy right now. I've got somebody, do you want to go for WhatsApp?
Yeah, so this comes from Luke, who says that vanilla soft serve with petai chips sounds delicious.
What?
Yeah, vanilla soft serve with petai chips.
No, just no.
No, I would.
You'd be
I would
all
try
open
that, actually. Yeah.
What is wrong with you two?
Ruben says, sugarcane and strawberry juice, haven't tried but heard it's great. Then there's one from Maggie Best. Maggie Bear says, anyone for Neil Diamond's porcupine pie, vanilla soup, chicken ripple ice cream for dessert?
What? Over here, I've got a burger consisting of a beef patty, banana, and peanut butter. You just mentioned that, I think.
Banana and peanut butter.
Oh, no banana.
And then I've got bacon ice cream. I've got pesto and rice. Grilled squid tentacles dressed in peanut butter. No, when I'm not liking that one. I don't know.
I might do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Would you guys put Nutella in tetare?
Asking the serious questions here on Enterprise Biz Bytes today.
Yeah.
Well, if you can do coffee and Milo, why not?
Why not, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Coffee, it's delicious.
You do the coffee and Milo thing quite a bit, don't you?
No, not coffee and Milo. I've tried Nutella in tetare.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I have.
Tell us all about this. Concoction of yours.
Oh, there was, I had tetare and then there was Nutella at the side.
Oh,
and
there
I thought,
we go.
And I thought, why not? Mm-hmm. Why not? It was good. It was good. It's actually good.
The one thing that I had or used to have when I'd come in late from an evening out was toasted bread with Marmite on top, some cheese, and then a spread of mayonnaise. And the person that introduced me to that, when they first passed it to me, I was like, I am not eating that. It sounds disgusting. I took one bite and I was hooked. That's it. That's my go-to whenever I need to get rid of that headache after an evening out.
And here you were judging me earlier this week about my peanut chunky peanut butter and Nutella sandwiches.
It's funny you say that because I went to the store the other day looking for chunky peanut butter just because you said that. And I couldn't find the one
you had a craving.
I had a craving, yeah. Right, we're going to move on. Enough about food because it is lunchtime and I am hungry. If you want to comment and get in touch, 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. We're on Twitter and on Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Is virtual reality dying?
So that's the question. So a few years ago, virtual reality was all the rage in Hollywood. It promised to reinvent the entertainment business. And at its peak, investors pumped more than 250 million USD or 1 billion ringgit into two dozen deals involving VR and AR startups in LA and Orange counties. This is in 2016, hoping that these pricey headsets projecting digital worlds would become as popular as your smartphones. But investment in the tech has been on a downward spiral since, and all of a sudden now the boom seems to have fizzled out. So several California companies that raised millions of dollars have shut down or have laid off dozens of workers due to lackluster consumer demand for VR headsets and, of course, a drought in capital. Investment in seven AR and VR startups in LA and Orange counties plummeted 81% last year to just $24 million. So earlier I said $250 million in 2016. It came down to $24 million last year. So the local decline in VR and AR investment is notable because it occurred at a time when overall venture capital funding in the two counties went up by almost 40%. But the money is just not going into AR and VR. Investors are parking their money in other areas such as cybersecurity and artificial intelligence. Why the decline? Well, many investors have been skittish about pouring more money into an industry that hasn't reached critical mass among consumers. The interest around virtual reality peaked in 2014, you know, when Facebook said that they were acquiring Oculus. That was a $2 billion deal. And that apparently spurred many other investors to take the technology more seriously. People said that Facebook's investment into Oculus had spawned 1,000 startups, VR startups, right? Mm-hmm. But entrepreneurs and investors underestimated how long it would take for consumers to embrace wearing these expensive VR goggles. And, you know, with high-end versions costing up to like $1,000, you know, I mean, you can get the cheaper ones, but they're not as great, right? I know you guys have tried these VR headsets as well. Mm-hmm. So to put it into perspective, last year, 7 million VR headsets shipped globally.
Only 7 million.
But that's not bad, right, if you think about it, 7 million. But in comparison, there were 100 million smart speakers shipped around the world. So now you start to understand why demand from the masses is, you know, important. Mm. It's not just the gamers that you need to reach out to. So this article that I'm reading from, it's from the Star Online, and it quotes many VR studios that have either closed or have had to suffer cutbacks due to the lack of funding. And experts say funding for VR and AR startups will remain flat in 2019. So other players in the industry have pivoted from creating just VR tech to something else. They are surviving. Even IMAX Corp has pulled back. They ended their pilot program offering VR games based on movies. They've ended that as well. But at the...
I think we spoke about that.
Mm. Mm-hmm. No, we spoke about them making 2D cinemas again, I think. Yeah,
yeah. So at last week's CES in Las Vegas, VR and AR companies, they were still very optimistic. They seemed bullish on the future. They cited potential bright spots such as VR products and apps that can be used in business training, education and gaming. Pokemon Go is still big. There's also Beats Saber that uses AR and VR. They have been very popular. Some VR companies have found a niche, whether it's creating VR attractions in malls or other products that can get the masses into the tech. They also say the rollout of 5G may help the industry's reach. So these companies are still holding on to hope that, you know, VR is still alive or is just beginning. Still, several investors say it may take several years before virtual reality becomes mainstream. And well, I think for now, many people just feel like because it hasn't just boomed from the get-go that, you know, it's already dying. It's too expensive. People don't want it. Gamers are serious about it. Everyone else doesn't really care. They're more into, like, your IoT devices and stuff. Mm-hmm. But this article at the end cited this man named, this expert named Ganesan, and he said, when the internet first came along, people were disappointed also with its slow download speed and hard-to-use interfaces. These are really hard technologies, and the hype is always way ahead of the reality. So we really don't know. You know, the demand right now maybe is not so great because we've got other things that we're interested in, but VR may not be dead. It could just be, you know, maybe 5 years into the future, it could be the norm.
That's kind of what I wanted to touch on, because originally, you know, VR was first launched quite a few years ago, late 80s, I think it was first launched. And then everybody was like, yeah, we're not quite ready for it. And then we had this second wave come along, and we're like, even when it came along and we tried it out, it was like, yeah, and we're still not quite ready for it yet. I think the problem with VR is because it immerses you into these virtual worlds, for it to be convincing and for it to be a product that people will take seriously, it has to be really, really good. Mm. I don't think you can kind of do it half-hearted, you know, and have like these blocky-ish graphics. And it just doesn't work because your senses are so in it, you know, that when I've tried it, I'm like, well, this just looks like a fairly cheap video game that's been made into a VR piece, and I'm not convinced that the game is good enough. Just the fact that it's in VR isn't enough to sell that game to me, and therefore I wouldn't buy the VR product.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that you need headsets for it, like these super huge glasses or goggles or whatever they are, because then that's one extra piece of equipment that you need. And also games nowadays take so much time and resources to develop, and so many people to make the game proper. And then if you have to do it in VR, it's almost impossible. There's way too much money that goes into it. So either gamers play normal games on their PlayStations or Xboxes or whatever, or you do VR experience. So you go someplace, you pay them a ticket. I think Mid Valley has a new one, the Rift, if I'm not mistaken. One of it, Genting has a couple of new ones. So you go there, you have experience, like 20 minutes, you go in, you do the VR thing, then you come out. No one's consuming VR on a daily basis, which is the other problem. The third thing is just like 3D, a lot of people have problems with the with adjusting to VR. So you use the headset and then you come out and then you have a massive headache.
Motion sickness.
Yeah, motion sickness for like a whole day. So it ruins, it ruins your day if you're not prepared to use the VR set itself. So I think once they get over these things, they might come back. But like 3D, I personally don't think VR is here to stay yet, unless they figure out the technology first. The whole headset thing is just, it's way too much.
It's too much. We've got to bring it down to something that it is like a fairly large pair of spectacles. You know, if you can get it that small, then that, I think, would be useful. But as it is, these huge sets that you have to wear, now, they're bulky, they're slow, they're expensive. Mm-hmm. The amount of cabling that's involved is an annoyance. If you use the PS4 version at home or any of the PS kind of VR stuff, the amount of cables that are involved, you're pretty much, you know, determined to trip over yourself as you're trying to use this thing.
Yeah, and even when they have the game's design, it gets old fast because it's one linear like storyline. You go in there and then you keep doing it's either shoot, duck, shoot, jump, same kind of thing. And after 20 minutes, you're like, you know, I know where this is going. I just have to get from point A to point B and finish the game.
But the thing is, the alternative to that is very expensive. And then, of course, it becomes out of reach for like the general consumer, right? Yeah. And gaming aside, you know, how do you see VR playing into our everyday entertainment world?
Education. I think it would be very useful for stuff like, you know, if you wanted to go and explore Pompeii, for example. Mm. You know, you could put a headset on and go and wander around the streets of Pompeii. Or if you wanted to visit somewhere underwater, you know, you could use it for that. For that kind of usage, I think it has potential in the education field.
Training simulators.
Mm. You know, that kind of stuff. But for gaming, it's still, I don't know.
No, not yet. I don't think it's there yet. Or I don't think it'll be there in a while. But I think more than education, I think if they made it like an Instagram sort of app, I think it would do well with photography. If they allowed people, if someone figured out a way, if someone like Kodak or whoever came out with a camera that could actually take pictures to easily turn it into a VR experience, then it would work. The same way that we look at other people's photos on like Instagram. I'm sure if we could see someone's, if someone, where they're buying sneakers and we wanted to see what the sneaker looked like or what the shop looked like, it doesn't have to be like big travel places and stuff, but if it was in VR and we had the goggles, then we would use it. Because then we'd have like a more immersive experience with people's photos. I think that could take off.
So advertising and branding companies need to get on this, really.
Oh, yeah. Imagine like an Instagram done in VR. Like, wouldn't you use it? Like, it would be way better than looking at 2D pictures.
If I didn't have to wear a stupid headset.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, that's where we are then. And that's what we're talking about. Is VR dead? Is it really dying? Other than that, though, of course, we are talking about strawberries and chili and garlic and a whole bunch of ingredients that, for most people, shouldn't end up together in the same pan. But, of course, for one particular MP, he says it was delicious and you should try it. No, is what I say.
Don't you dip your French fries in milkshakes?
No, I do not.
No, I love doing that.
No, and I've heard that so many times. And the other one, ice cream between bread as well. No, who does that?
Don't knock it.
See, this is where we get to cultural differences that we need to talk about during the break before I get killed here on air. Anyway, so the question is, you know, what are some of the oddest food combinations that you've come across? I mean, this, of course, is relating to the story that has broken about broken. It's not even a breaking story, is it? About how an MP has fried his nasi goreng with sliced strawberries, and the internet went crazy, including Kairi Jamaluddin saying it's disgusting, and Saeed Sadiq actually said it's a crime worse than 1 MDB. Wonderful. Let us know what you think about this. Get us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899, on Twitter or on Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. When we come by, a very interesting app that freezes your phone until you reply. Meanwhile, we've got some music coming up from Fleetwood Mac with Go Your Own Way here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.